Good morning and welcome on the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Really have no pressing announcements today. Just want to remind everyone that we will continue to follow the guidelines of State of North Carolina and the North Carolina Synod. Birthdays for today: Wanda Black, Joe Hedrick, Olivia Turner, Gary McLean, Gracie Ferguson. Happy anniversary to Boyd and Janice Queen. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live in, for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, in the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the community of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have
mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The children would like to come forward. Good morning. So I want to give you a little quiz this morning. Let's see if you guys know. Now, I believe there's probably some people out here that in the listening area and in this building that may know some of these more so than you, but I think some of you guys might be pretty sharp on this. All right, so I got a couple of questions about superheroes. You guys know superheroes, don't you? So a lot of them, they have their superhero name and then they have their normal name. Okay? Like Gracie or Gavin, okay? Those are superhero names though, right? Especially to your parents. All right, so let's see. You know the normal name of Spider-Man? We'll share it. What is it? What's Spider-Man's name? Oh, you might have to tag your dad in on this one. Peter Parker, okay? All right, we'll try an easier one. What's Batman's real name? There's a generation gap here on these superheroes. You guys didn't read the comic books like I did growing up. Batman is Bruce Wayne. All right, let's try a different one. How about Wonder Woman? You guys got to buy these kids some comic books. Goodness gracious. Diana Prince. Okay. Well, when we look at superheroes and we look at characters from cartoons or something or TV shows that you watch that they may do something else, there's something that always masks them, that keeps them separate from their normal persona, right? Or who they normally are. So even though we as viewers or readers know that Bruce Wayne is Batman, and that Robin knows who Batman is, and Alfred knows who Batman is, nobody else knows. And they don't know who the other superheroes are. So Bruce Wayne doesn't know that Clark Kent is Superman. Okay? So in today's scripture, something like this happens with Jesus and his disciples. So he asked the disciples, who do other people say that I am? And the answers he got were, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you are Elijah. And others say a prophet like Jeremiah. But Peter says, you're the Messiah. When he asked the disciples, well, who do you say that I am? So Peter, straightforward, who a couple of weeks ago just about drowned because he didn't have faith when he was walking on the waters and he got scared of the storm. Here's that same Peter just immediately saying, the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. So Peter knows that. How do you think Peter knows that? How do you know that he knows that close secret of Jesus that hasn't been broadcast to the world yet? What do you think? Okay, been through it before for 3 years. You're right. For 3 years, he and the other 11 disciples had been through it with Jesus. They had traveled with him. They know Jesus. Okay? So Peter gives us a great example. You know, we can follow Jesus too. And we can do things because we know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is our salvation. So one of the reasons that we can talk about Jesus while we're here in worship and so forth is that He wants us to know Him outright. Okay, there's no Bruce Wayne. Okay, it's just Jesus. That's who He is. All right, if you'll pray with me. Dear God, thank You for Your stories of Jesus that help us learn who He really is, so that we can help others learn about Jesus. Amen. All right, thank you guys. Y'all have a great remote week.
The first reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion, He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation. For a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord. Psalms today is Psalms 138. I give You thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing Your praise. I bow down to Your holy temple and give thanks to Your name for Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. For You have exalted Your name and Your word above everything. On the day I called, You answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise You, O Lord, for they have heard the words of Your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For Thou, the Lord, is high. He regards the lowly, but the haughty He perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out Your hand, and Your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of Your hands. The second reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So who are so many? Are one body in Christ? And individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerful. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, good morning. Peter continues to be a bit of a focus for us here in Matthew. Just three chapters ago, he hopped out of the boat and was walking towards Jesus, and then all of a sudden he got a little scared and he started to sink and he had to cry out for Jesus to help him. We can understand that. We know everything. We are human. We have that ability to try and know everything, or at least tell everybody we do. But in the end, we waver and we run into weak times that cause us a bit of trouble. We forget everything that we've learned and everything that we know. Vince Lombardi, I think most people in here in the community know at least something. You've heard that name before. He was famous for being the head coach of the NFL's Green Bay Packers at one time. One game he went out and he watched his team get beaten like a drum. They were humiliated by the opponent, and the opponent was supposed to lose that game by 3 touchdowns. Most coaches getting beat by an underdog team, a team that you should not get beaten by, would be very upset. As a player, you would dread going to the next practice or the next team meeting. But the next day before practice, he walks out, he's got his team there, he picks up the football. He's standing there, holds it up to his players, and says, "Gentlemen, this is a football. Let's get to work." So after a humiliating defeat, he figured it was time to call the team back to the basics. And that's what they did. There are times when each of us needs to go back to the basics. It happens at work. It happens at school. It even happens in our relationship with Jesus Christ. As we see in the scripture reading, Jesus brings the disciples back to the basics. After teaching the disciples for nearly 3 years, he paused to ask them a very basic question. "Who do you say that I am?" Then he waited for them to respond. He waited for them to give an answer. Today, that basic question comes down to you and me. Jesus is waiting for us to respond. He's waiting for our answer. So today, as we're gathered in person and online, let's take some time and think together for a while about this very basic, fundamental question of our Christian faith. Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" The story we read begins with Jesus asking the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" In other words, Jesus is asking his disciples, "What are you hearing about me, guys? What are people saying about me? Have they figured out who I am?" So in response, the disciples give him a number of answers. And they're good answers. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. These people had all come before, telling that the Messiah was on the way. So deep down, he knew his disciples knew that he was not John the Baptist. He was not Elijah, and he was not Jeremiah. So when we look at that, Jesus is trying to gauge where his disciples are. It was important to know what the people were saying, and they're all good answers. None of those things that the people were saying about Jesus would have been considered an insult. These were great men: John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, Elias. They were men who pointed the way to salvation and to a right relationship with God. But they were all men. People pointing the way of salvation, but they were men. They were not the way of salvation themselves. So how different these answers are from Jesus' claim for himself when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So to see Jesus merely as another person in a long line of great spiritual gurus or religious teachers, or to bypass or sidestep him to continue on with the search for a way to salvation, we miss the point. It is to miss everything about Jesus and who he is if we miss that point and we think of Jesus as a person in that sense. Many people in Jesus' day really didn't understand who he was. Not much has changed 2,000 plus years later. Even today, many people miss who Jesus actually is. People living today haven't come to the right conclusion about Jesus. But that wasn't Jesus' main concern in this story. I'm sure he wished that those people who claimed he was John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah would grasp and come to an understanding of that who Jesus was. I'm still sure that Jesus cares about what others think about him even today. But that really wasn't the main concern that Jesus had about that time. Nor is it the main concern this time. So after listening to the responses about what others said about Jesus, he turns to his disciples and again he asks, "But what about you? What about you, the ones who have been with me for almost 3 years, the ones who have heard me teach and watched me heal? What about you? Disciples, who do you say that I am?" And well, Peter, quick-talking disciple, answers Jesus' question, and he gets it dead right. Peter looks at Jesus and he says, "Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, Jesus, you are the anointed one. You're the one that's come to save us. You're not only the one who will point us to the way of salvation and a right relationship with God, but you're also the one who will bring about salvation through you and bring to us the living God. Peter gets it. He gets it right. He gets the basic, foundational, fundamental question, and he shows that he has been a true disciple. Today we're here, we just can't listen to Peter's response though. It's not good enough to simply let Peter answer Jesus' question for us. Instead, we have to do more ourselves. We have to answer that question. As Jesus turns to us, he says, "Who do you say that I am?" We can't rely on Peter for that answer. Jesus has no desire to hear us talk about what Peter or even what our parents or our pastor or church believes. Instead, Jesus wants to know what we believe. He wants to know how you and I would answer this question. See, what Peter says, what our parents say, what our friends say about Jesus is one thing. And they're good things. They have the right answer when they've taught us that Jesus is the Messiah. The same answer that Peter gave. But the significance in our life is our answer. What would your answer be to his question, "Who do you say that I am?" By asking the question the way he did, Jesus is implying, are you willing to stand alone in your estimation of me? Do you dare take the risk of breaking away from public opinion and hold a contrary personal conviction about me? Today, there are well over 500 different denominations and variations of Christianity. There are other religions out there as well. How much do we proselytize? How much do we share that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he is the path to salvation? I know I'm guilty. I don't do it. Not near enough. So what's beyond these walls and beyond our homes is what matters and can help us answer that question. Who do you say that I am? So can you say it? Are you willing to say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you willing to say, Jesus, you're the one that makes everything right with God for us? Are you willing to say that, yes, you're the one that came to die on a cross and be raised from the dead for us? So even though the question Jesus asks is fundamental to our lives, our answer is even more fundamental to our own life and to our salvation. Who do you say that I am? At some point, we hope that we get to the point where we can answer swiftly, like Peter did. To give you a little bit of the location as to where they were, as to why he's asking this for the people, you mentioned the denominations, the different religious groups that are in there. But in the district of Caesarea Philippi, Baal, B-A-A-L, was the notorious god that of fertility for the Canaanites. And you also had Pan, the Roman god of fertility. Even King Herod the Great had built a temple in Caesarea Philippi for people to worship Caesar. And in the midst of all this idolatry, all these people worshiping other gods, Jesus asked the fundamental question, who do you say that I am? So it's this setting, in this pagan city, that Peter answers, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So imagine for a moment, we're in Las Vegas. Pretty worldly city in our day. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. We can imagine walking down the main streets of that city with glittering casinos all around us, lights overshadowing us, and then all of a sudden Jesus is walking with us. He turns to us and asks, who do you say that I am? In that city full of lights, he would wait for us to reply, Jesus, you are the light of the world. Or imagine sitting in the stands of the seventh game of the World Series. Razzle-dazzle displays all over the place, loud music, boisterous crowd there. You're in one of the best seats in the stadium. And in the midst of all those delirious fans, 100 million more around the world watching that game on TV, it'd be a pretty awesome feeling. So now it's the bottom of the ninth. Our team's down by 3 runs. Bases are loaded. 2 outs. Our best hitter is up to the plate. All eyes are on him. We're more anxious than he is, I bet. Pitcher delivers that pitch. The ball's heading toward the plate. Our batter, remember, he's our best hitter, swings and makes contact with the ball. It's a deep fly ball. It's heading for the wall. Fans are on their feet. Our fans are cheering, you know, loudly, boisterously. The other team's fans are like, they're gasping. They don't want that ball to go out. And suddenly somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, "Who do you say that I am?" In that atmosphere, those screaming fans all around, he would expect you to reply, "Jesus, you are the Messiah." Or imagine being at school, sitting down for lunch and having your friends or coworkers with you. They begin to chat about the weekend and going out and partying. All of a sudden, Jesus is there, sitting across from you, and says, "Who do you say that I am?" His expectation, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Or imagine you're at work and you're standing with some of your coworkers who are saying some pretty hurtful remarks about someone that you work with. They're all laughing, and suddenly Jesus taps you on the shoulder and says, "Who do you say that I am?" And in that group of people, he would expect you to say again, "Jesus, you are the Son of the living God." Now it's your turn. Now it's my turn to answer that question. No matter where we are, our place, our location, where we are in our journey of faith, it's important that we be able to answer that question. So at this time, if you can't answer the question in the way that it needs to be answered, we all need to help get you to that point. Everybody needs help. Nobody can do it alone. So I hope and pray that you'll allow Jesus through His Holy Spirit to work in your heart, that you'll find someone in this congregation, maybe the pastor, council member, close friend, speak about Jesus. And also for you to be that close friend, to be that person when someone comes to you or you go to them and they don't know that Jesus is the Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life. We all need to come to Jesus. We all need to learn more about Him. And we all need to come to Christ, the Son of the living God, to ask for salvation and to share that message of salvation with those around us, especially those that have not heard. So today, tomorrow, and on down the line, Jesus asks you every day, "Who do you say that I am?" Amen.
Please join in saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He arose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Lord, our rock, You are our foundation in Jesus Christ, Your Son, whom we confess as the living God. Prepare Your church for its mission in bearing witness to Christ, both here at home and throughout the world. Lord, in Your mercy, You call forth praises from far reaches of the universe to the smallest of creatures. Join our songs to theirs, that a spirit of praise and thanksgiving will arouse us to cherish this wondrous home you give us. Lord, in your mercy, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord. Direct the leaders of countries, legislators and magistrates, mayors and councils to walk in your ways. Help leaders regard those in need with mercy and fulfill your loving purposes in the governance of peoples. Lord, in your mercy. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve us, you deliver us, and you fulfill your purpose for us. According to your steadfast love, grant healing and wholeness to those who are bereaved, in trouble or adversity, or sick and in need of care, especially Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Carrie, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Joe, Brian, Bill, Rex, Paul, Harold, Scott, Robert, Kenneth, Lynn, Randy, David, Banks, Jeff, Kathy, Randy, Reverend Bill and Doris, Gary, Charlotte, Kay, Eva Ray, Pauline, Bobby Lynn, Curtis, Joanne, Richard, Sandra, and those that we name in our hearts now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also ask your protection and care for all our servicemen and women all over the world and for all those unemployed looking for work. Lord, in your mercy. You call us into this community of Holly Grove and beyond, in which we, though many, are one in Christ. May we recognize in ourselves and in one another the unique gifts that you have given us for the building up of the church for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy. As schools have begun to operate again, be with your children. Lord, you have made these children as varied as the flowers of a garden. You have blessed each one uniquely, and each fragile growing child is infinitely precious in your sight. You have entrusted teachers to nurture them with knowledge, support staff to feed, transport, and help them throughout the day, and have blessed each of those workers with the joy of seeing them grow. Lord, in your mercy. You are the everlasting rock from which we were hewn, and you restore your people to joy and gladness. In blessed memory and hope, we thank you for the lives of our beloved saints that have passed before us. Bring us with them to your heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you knew our faults and have ripped apart the barriers that separate us from God. You've opened us to the grace of God through your sacrifice of love on a cross and your resurrection from the dead. Promise of God, fill your people and give us peace. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let us share a sign of that peace with one another.
Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom from life with you. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, You speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love, for your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us, renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, bless you and keep you in eternal peace. Amen. And now let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.